We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, where now, when you use promo code DNVR, you can make your first deposit and get a risk-free bet up to $1,000 only with promo code DNVR and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. I am only Patrick Lyons.
And I am Susie Hunter. Patrick, we're recording this after Thursday's game, and I feel like we have been here for maybe 15 hours.
It was a long one.
It was a long one, is what I'm trying to say.
It ended on the quicker side because we were on pace for a very long one. And we've got a long show. We've got so much to cover today besides the Rockies' 8-5 victory. They go to 41-49 on the season. 10-7 during this 17-game stretch against NL West opponents, one of the best divisions in all of baseball. 10-7 there. They are 8 games under 500 now, and they are now 13-3 against the Padres since the start of the 2021 season. We'll talk about some of the weird, wild stuff going on this weekend. What's coming up this weekend that's ahead of us here, as well as preview the 2022 MLB draft. Where are the Rockies selecting? Why are they selecting in that spot? What have they done in the recent past? What might they do? We'll take a look at some three players. So we've got a jam-packed show. Susie, who stood out for you most, would you say, in Thursday's 8-5 victory over the San Diego Friars?
Like in a good way or a not so good way? Because Kyle Freeland definitely stood out to me.
Detail.
Because he was not on his A game, and he also was pretty angry, as we saw on the Padres broadcast.
Did not see that on the Rockies broadcast.
We didn't see it on the Rockies broadcast. It was only on the Padres broadcast. But he took to Brendan Rodgers' bat. We found out that it was his bat.
The green tape was definitely the giveaway. Only a couple pieces of wood broke off from it. Did not like where that light was placed. And when there is poor placement of lights, that is going to happen when you give up 3 runs in the 5th inning. All in all, Kyle Freeland's day, you know, was not as good as what he had hoped. 4 innings pitched, started out the 5th, but could not record an out. 6 hits, 5 runs, 3 walks, 3 strikeouts. It wasn't what he had hoped. Leaves the game with the score tied, and actually the score wasn't tied there just yet, but winning or tying run was in scoring position, would eventually score. And for him, you know, felt like, you know, he had really squandered an opportunity there for his team. Felt he was inconsistent in the zone, gave up that home run to Trent Grisham, the only run, only home run of the game, despite the fact there were 13 runs scored, only the one homer by Grisham. And Freeland, none too pleased after his overall performance.
Yeah, we know he's an intense guy. He puts a lot of pressure on himself for sure. He expects greatness out of himself. So, I mean, he was frustrated with himself. He was not happy.
No, I imagine after the game at some point had to take off the purple belt and maybe put on an electrician's belt because that we'll get that light figured out and fixed tomorrow at some point. 91 pitches, 56 strikes, 4 groundouts, 2 flyouts, gave up a 3-0 lead. Then it was a 5-2 lead that he ended up coughing up. The bullpen came in. Chassin gave up 1 hit, but was perfect. Otherwise, 2 innings pitched. Not bad for a guy that I want to say when they went out to Miami and Minnesota about 3-4 weeks ago, we weren't quite sure if he would be back in Colorado at that point because he had been struggling. And here it was really nice to see him be integral in this victory on Thursday afternoon.
It really was so nice to see when we talked to him after the game too. I love seeing him happy. He's such a nice guy, and he's always got his son with him, who like always is decked out in a full little kid Rockies uniform. I love that. He is a great human being. But I also loved what he said about how like he always feels the same, whether he hasn't pitched in a little bit, whether he's pitched 3 days in a row. He's like, I just always feel the same. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it's important to have that consistency, no doubt, especially, you know, given some of the circumstances that the Rockies can find themselves in this ballpark. That was kind of one of the questions. It was a very wild game, and maybe, just maybe, the Rockies have an advantage in this game of attrition, where you need to be not only mentally tough, which we know the Rockies are, and they're very resilient in this ballpark because they already know anything can happen. It's happened to them already. It's going to happen again. They're also going to do it to the opponent. But you also need to be physically tough enough to withstand it at altitude. And I believe it was Chasen who said, San Diego does not like playing here. And the fact that, again, they are 13-3, or yes, the Rockies are 13-3 against the Padres here at Coors Field since the start of 2021. For a team that is incredibly talented, even on days in which their best players are not in the lineup, Padres are still one of the better teams in the National League. And for the Rockies to have their number, to own them in that way, dare I say pwn them, pwning the Padres, it's pretty cool. It's nice to see that.
Very 2006 of you. Yeah, no, it certainly is. It's so great to see. I feel like it boosts morale to me. Do you feel that way?
I do. I know Jake Bird is one of those guys who had his morale boosted simply because Bud Black keeps going to him. He's been kind of a reliable guy. Now, his first two appearances in this series, got two outs, then got one out overall, gave up four runs in an innings pitch, but gets the call on back-to-back game. So here he comes in. I think that was the seventh inning. Gives up a hit, but strikes out two in that frame. 1-2-3 eighth inning, and Jake Bird is kind of back on track for a guy who's, you know, a rookie. This is his first time in the big leagues. Was nervous in the bullpen warming up just a month ago. Now is one of those guys who's really seems to have stepped up in the place of a Tyler Kinley, who, of course, we know his season is over. Not as dominant as a Tyler Kinley, but when you have a guy as good as Kinley has been, really would have been in the conversation, I think, for an all-star selection had he stayed healthy, right? For a guy to have lost a guy like that can really damage a bullpen. But Bird has really stepped up, eased some things a little bit. Even Carlos Estevez did a nice job with a 1-2-3 ninth inning here. I guess he would have gotten the save.
I believe he did.
That's how saves works. So
that's how they work.
3-run lead. So nice to see Carlos Estevez get that save. But for our DraftKings Sportsbook king of the game, tip of the cap, lowering of the glasses and a wink to Mr. Randall Grichuk. Goes 2-for-4, has two doubles, 3 RBI or 3 RBI, and two very high and very nice socks.
Yo, South game strong. I'm glad he's wearing the glasses again, too. We need some more glasses representation in MLB for sure. But yeah, great stuff out of Grichuk. You'd love to see it.
I feel like he needs about 10% more quirk in his batting stance in order to qualify for a good batting stance video, because he already has the crazy high socks. So, you know, Gar can throw on a pair of jorts and just put on some like thigh high socks. Boom, you got that. You just need some, you know, spectacles there. You just need some bifocals, and you're already kind of off to the races with your do-it-yourself at home poor man's bootleg Randall Grichuk. I think you're kind of on that way.
Randall Grichuk. That sounds like a great Halloween costume too.
Yeah. Well,
save that for later.
Actually, I probably shouldn't have said that. Kale, my apologies. Kale and I were actually starting a two-man power post-punk group called Bootleg Randall Grichuk. Our first show is in a month. We've got a venue. We're playing the DNVR bar. We're just playing for the construction guys that are there, but I'm pretty stoked. I'm pretty stoked about it. I know Kale's been nervous, but he's working on the flyers and everything. So look, the street team is going to be on point. It's just really the music that we need to work on more than anything.
I'm surprised you didn't invite me. I was in a very competitive choir in high school. I'm a talented vocalist.
Yeah, I was rejected for my school's show choir, unfortunately. So I did not go to Disney World. That was the big allure. It's like, I'll sing in the choir, which I did. But going down to Disney World each and every year to perform. Now Kale's really excited. Kale, get in here on this action.
Kale is a performer, for sure. But I did get to go to Disney World, Patrick, in case you were wondering.
You did or didn't?
I did.
Man. Mm-hmm. Kale, I know you may not have gone to Disney World. And yes, we will get back on track. This is a baseball podcast. But I got to know, did you get the Disney World invite there, Kale? Or was it just, not? I don't mean to say just, but was it FedCon? All the way, all 4 years. I know you're a
I actually qualified for nationals for ThesCon. So excuse you.
Excuse you.
I'm kidding. No, choir wise, the coolest thing I got to do is go to Allstate, but that was rad.
That's fantastic. Actually, I would did your school ever perform here at Coors Field? Because we had a really good national anthem today. Of course, performed by Steph Holmbo, who's in some new thing that's going on that I saw an advertisement for, but shout out to Steph Holmbo. Major upgrade from all the children's choirs that we get here at Coors Field. Kale, were you ever one of those?
I was one of those choirs that got to sing at Coors Field, yeah.
Was it a good choir, or were you guys all over the place?
It was a good choir. This was in high school when I was with my like really, really high-level choir.
But it's funny you brought that up, because Yahir did some amazing work on the production side, and we actually have that video. Let's drop it in Yahir right now.
Oh, please no.
Okay, Yahir's not even on this call, Kale. Come on. His producer, there's no Shadow StreamYard here that we're using. He's like, where is he? What room
Shadow
is he?
Shadow StreamYard. Could you? Oh, my God. Some of the choirs have been good. Some of the choirs have been cute. Some of the choirs have been atrocious.
Yeah. And they might not be ready.
You know what? Not everyone's ready, but how did they pass the audition process is what I'm wondering.
We could have a replacement choir situation. I don't know if certain schools are holding out for better tickets, extra vouchers for the hot dogs. I'm really not sure what goes on. I don't like to get into the politics of singing the national anthem here at Coors Field, but we did have a good one here on Sunday. Had some good boys on base, particularly on the base stealing front. Got two bags from Garrett Hampson, Connor Joe. I think that's his sixth now for the year. So it's good to see the Rockies stealing a lot of bases after stealing virtually none for most of this year. I know we had at one point there was over a month stretch that the Rockies hadn't stolen a base at home, and so they've been a little bit more aggressive. Ryan McMahon actually, after Tuesday night's game, said, look, we just kind of have to get some things moving a little bit. You know, players in general, and this is a much larger conversation, not necessarily to have today, but bottom line, you're waiting for the 3-run home run. You don't want to take the bat out of anyone's hands, especially in the middle of the lineup. So even if you, you're Jonathan Daza, Jose Iglesias, Connor Joe at the top of the order, you got the bats behind you to drive you in. It's not necessarily your job to get in scoring position. It's their job to hit you in with an extra base hit. So therefore, hey, why chance it? It's also a long season. It's a marathon. There's a little wear and tear slamming your body down to slide. Again, it's an acceptable part of the game. We know that, but that is just one of those comments from everyone I talk to. They say that, look, that's a way to kind of ease off the gas a little bit, is kind of reduce those stolen bases. If you're not, you know, given the steal sign and it's really up to you, you might err on that side of, hey, let me take it a little bit easier. Let me trust in the guys that are behind me in the order. We also know stolen bases don't pay when it comes to arbitration. So, you know, stealing 20 bases versus only 12 isn't going to necessarily make you more money if you are a young player. And, you know, and to that point, that was one thing Buddy talked about. They really passed the baton today. 9 walks by Padres pitchers. So, look, they didn't chase out of the zone. There were a couple 4-pitch walks. In fact, Blake Snell walked, I believe it was Jose Iglesias with the bases loaded, and then walked Chris Bryant on 4 straight pitches. So just didn't have it. But the Rockies, everyone reached base. Everyone said, hey, you know what? I don't need to hit a big 3-run home run. I'm going to do my thing. I'll take a walk if I need to, because the guy behind me, I trust, is going to do that. And so that was really nice to see them do that in a major way on Thursday afternoon.
For sure. Yeah, all the boys got on base, and we love to see that for sure. But yeah, I love the stolen base conversation too. Absolutely. And it's interesting. I mean, I guess when you think about it, you know, that extra wear and tear, I'd never thought about it this way before, but that extra wear and tear, we know how hard it is to recover at altitude. So yeah, we got to conserve.
Yeah, that's definitely one of those aspects that I need to dig into more and ask some more questions about, just kind of figure out some things. Those 9 walks that the Rockies were able to record, most since 2019, September 24th. That was actually in San Francisco. They've walked 9 or more times in a single game, 67 times in franchise history. That's kind of surprising that they've been in that many games. Also looked it up. Shout out to Purple Row. Put me on the spot. Someone asked them and they said, actually, Patrick may know the answer. Of course, use the trusty Google machine. Stathead, a.k.a.
Is that Baseball Reference or is it the other one?
It's Baseball Reference. Okay. A.k.a. Pathead.
Got it. You're killing me here. You know I have COVID brain.
But yeah, looked it up. 16 walks. The franchise record, 16 walks. That's insane. I believe that was July 16th, 1994. Not here, but at Mile High Stadium. Cardinals pitchers, two different guys walked 6 different Rockies in that game. Everyone recorded an RBI. And that game was actually quicker than this one. It was something like a 16-5 game. And yet, with all those walks, 16 of them, all those pitches, it still was quicker. It was 3 hours, 21 minutes. Thursday's game, 3 hours, 42 minutes. Back-to-back tacos. Gotta love that.
Yes, James, thank you for leaving that comment. Yeah, I hope you pick up your tacos today and tomorrow. Exciting stuff here at Coors Field.
Connor Joe walked 3 times, had a sacrifice fly RBI on top of that. Daza Chrome with 2 hits. And Jose Iglesias continues to do it with another 2 RBI game. Love what we're seeing out of that guy.
He is that guy this week. He is just, he's on a tear the past couple of days. You know, he hit that 1,000th hit milestone. He had a career high 6 RBI yesterday, and then today another 2 RBI. He's so productive. He's been so clutch, and it's amazing.
Hey, Bud Black mentioned something about Hampson starting to heat up and how he's been getting a lot of playing time. That was kind of something that I had suggested in our article earlier this week, that Montero would go back down so he could actually get some playing time. Maybe Hampson will stay in the outfield, or rather Hilliard will stay in the outfield after he got called up while Chris Bryant was gone on the paternity list, and Hampson would move to the infield. We're seeing that his defense has been really crisp all year long, so it just kind of made me think they might be trying to set the table a little bit for Hampson to get more comfortable on the infield, second base, a little at short, a little third base, because if they do trade Jose Iglesias, Ezekiel Tovar may not be ready just yet. He is going to be held out of the Futures game on Saturday. We'll talk more about that here in a little bit. So it could be Trejo, Hampson kind of combination there at shortstop. So they're prime and happy there, I think, just a little bit. So that very well could make sense. And it makes all the sense in the world to become a member of the DNVR.com, especially since it's only 50 cents for your first month. And if you're already just enjoying the free podcast or a free show here on YouTube, the DNVR Sports channel, and you're ready to just go all in because you want access to that members-only Discord, you want a member-sized beer when we're back open on the corner of Colfax in New York, you want all that great Broncos, Nuggets, Avs coverage, CSU Rams, CU Buffs, you name it, all that and more. If you're ready to go all in for that, you do get a free shirt from dnvrlocker.com. And if you want to get some great and free advice, walk into any of 11 Denver metro area Lightshade locations. They are the experts when it comes to cannabis concentrates, top shelf flowers, edibles, and of course, super producer Kale's favorite, tinctures. Yes, they've got accessories and more. And the folks at Lightshade know all about that. They're going to point you in the right direction, whether you're new to the game or whether you're just looking for something new and a new product that they've tried themselves, because they are the best in the game. They know what they're doing. And right now you can actually get 25% off non-sale items with code DNVR. Shop online at lightshade.com for pickup, or really you should visit that Lightshade location near you, especially the one on 6th Ave, 8 minutes away from where the bar is located. That's their main hub. And they've got it all for you. And then some, very much like Ivaca TV. Head to ivaca.tv/DNVR. 0 hidden fees or contracts. We're talking $25 per month plus receiver. That is, unless you use code DNVR, that's going to knock down $10 per month your first 3 months. Go to ivaca.tv/DNVR so you can get Altitude Sports. Yes, you can finally watch Nuggets and Avs in your very own home. You can get AT&T Sportsnet. Yes, you can get the Rockies in your very own home. And yes, you do get the DNVR Sports Channel on Ivaca TV. Head on over to ivaca.tv/DNVR. Use code DNVR for $10 off your first 3 months.
Sounds good.
Susie, you still on the warmer side here up in the PNC Press Club?
I am absolutely roasting in here right now. I've been roasting all day. I'm super dehydrated. I'm trying, though. Oh, you have a fan? Where did you get that? Did you bring that?
I brought it from home. Yes, after sweating up here the last couple shows. Pro tip, bring a little mini fan.
I don't have a mini fan. I have AC at home. Why would I have a mini fan just lying around?
Go on Amazon, make an order, and 3 minutes later, you will have a mini fan. We know how Amazon works.
We know how it works, but I missed Prime Day. I'm like actually a little whiny right now. I'm trying not to be.
That's okay. Look, we'll try to talk about some of the more funner, wilder things in general, as we mentioned with the massive amount of walks. It was tacos again on back-to-back games. Really love that. That was fantastic. And I know this weekend coming up, there's going to be a lot of excitement. Temperature still might be warm. It was 96 degrees for the first pitch here on Thursday afternoon. And it wasn't too bad in the first row. Kind of there was a lot of circulation. There's a big fan that's up there, not my little small guy there. But Corey, Jenny, I know you said it's kind of stagnant in the upper reaches there, in the upper deck, if you will.
The upper deck of the press box. Also, I noticed that your side of the press box, because you've got some AC air coming in, drafting in from the cafeteria area, it is a little cooler on that right side of the press box as opposed to the left side of the press box. We were suffering. Corey Sullivan was suffering more than anyone. He was not enjoying the heat.
Yeah, that's a good point. There very much could be a circulation thing going on with that. It was kind of fine there in the cafeteria. And then late in the game, didn't get to refresh before the show. So we're really struggling here. Say a prayer for us. Send good vibes our way.
Please send some good vibes in the comment section. Because how
the
else
soda machine, soda machine, seltzer machine ran out of ice.
Yeah, hashtag that was
first word problems.
It was very upsetting because I I went back over there maybe a dozen times to keep refilling my cup of water and getting some ice, and it melts pretty quickly. And then all of a sudden, seventh, eighth inning, whenever we tweeted it out, no more ice. So I'm suffering. I'm drinking room temperature iced tea right now.
Oh my God. Hashtag say a prayer for Susie.
Please hashtag, do.
It's not a GoFundMe. What is it again? We're just trying to raise some money for
a GoFundMe. Price. Yeah.
It is a GoFundMe. Okay.
A Kickstarter is for like a certain project. A GoFundMe is a charitable thing.
We need something that's kind of in the middle that helps fund, a personal ice maker for you to bring on the road and a little mini fan. Something in the middle. Again, that's the new invention. That's the website that kind of checks off both of those boxes.
Or just Venmo me some cash. Thanks. It's at the Susie Hunter on all platforms. Thank
you. Do you actually have that on your Twitter account? That exists, right? There's a little Venmo tag on some people's profile.
Oh, is there really? Oh, I guess I could. Yeah. But you know what? Honestly, I have so many weird dudes that follow me. When I was doing my fundraiser last year for my road trip, my Boys and Girls Club fundraiser, I had dudes who were like, hey, if I send you extra money, will you send me pictures of yourself? And I was like, are you kidding me? So I would just assume that guys would Venmo me and be like, oh, but I want you to send me pictures. We're on freaking OnlyFans. I hate it here. I hate it here.
What if they were courtroom sketches? What if you shared that instead? Do we know?
That would be hilarious. Can you do courtroom sketches, Patrick? Because I can't draw
No.
I can't draw to save my life.
Thomas Harding's actually a very good sketch artist. He's
of course
like
he
in
is.
the middle of press conferences, he's working. He's doing Todd Helton from memory. A lot of hidden talents here up in the press box. We're not going to see some of our buddies in the press box this weekend, or at least on Friday. It's an Apple TV game.
I'm excited about that. So it's an Apple TV game. And also, I feel like this upcoming weekend is the best weekend in terms of Rockies giveaways, because there is a giveaway every freaking day.
And none of them is a bobblehead, too. So usually that'll tip the scales, but there's something good, I think, for just about everybody. Or it's a good gift where if you're not digging on it, you can give it away to someone that you know will like it. So keep your eyes peeled. Hunter Pence, we'll be around Katie Nolan, that whole crew. Hunter Pence, go to a local coffee shop in and around the ballpark. Loves coffee. I mean, he has his own coffee place, Coral Sword, down in Houston. So I'll be catching up with him. He had gone to like every Little Owl in all of downtown Denver last month when they were there. So
do you guys have plans to get coffee together?
No, we haven't exchanged information to be total coffee pals. Maybe I will just run into him like I did Chad Kuhl, you know, a couple of weeks ago, whatever it may be. He did have that complete game shutout after he saw me for coffee. Coincidence? I mean,
there are no coincidences,
not.
Patrick. We know
probably
that.
Not because it was like a month later. But the Crocs and all that business, we've got that article up on the DNVR.com. That was definitely a fun one. And I told Garrett Hampson, I said, watch out because Susie will be rating your Gibbets game. And he said, oh, that is a good idea. So at some point, we'll have to go around, look at all the different charms, all the different Gibbets.
Yeah,
that players have in their Crocs. We know ordered 500 of them. So
yeah,
it'd be fun.
I went around looking yesterday to see who had the best gibbets. I keep wanting to call them giblets, like it's the innards of a turkey. But I started looking around. Like I looked at Sean Bouchard's Crocs, Brian Servan's Crocs, and they just have their numbers. They don't have anything interesting. So I'm like, guys, we gotta step it up. We got to get maybe, more decorative.
Now, they're both rookies, so maybe you got
to
earn
your Gibbets. Oh, I see.
Actually, this needs to be pitched to Gilly. We got to let him know and say, wait a minute. You get to bestow a Gibbets on someone for a big play, a big game.
Like their Girl Scout badges? Like, you get a home run Gibbet. You get a stolen base Gibbet. You get a stolen home run Gibbet. I like this.
That's it. And really, it's just going to be like a bunch of random things. Like it's going to be a ghost and be like, all right, well, you know, you stole second base. You're so speedy like a ghost. Like, you improvise a reason to make the Gibbets work. You know, it's similar to like the University of Michigan. I think Ohio definitely does it with the Buckeyes, the little stickers on the football helmets. So that could be the way to go. So we'll see if Gilbert has to recollect all of the Crocs, de-Gibbets them. Only to then go back and say, okay, now you need to earn the Gibbets. It may be too late. The dam maybe has already busted. I'm not sure.
Patrick, it sounds like he might need to make another spreadsheet.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. I told you someone had made a spreadsheet, and now we can discuss it. Yes, Lucas Gilbert.
I was so mad that I got scooped by my own coworker because I was talking to Kevin about it too, and I was like, oh, God, like I want to do this story. I want to do it tomorrow morning. And then I found out about this business and I was upset.
So there will be other weird footwear and weird trends that go on. They don't have any home run celebrations. They had the glasses last year, you know. Some teams have done the football helmet, you know, the suit jacket, all that. So that's going to come in the second half. That happened in 2019 when they fell out of contention. They were doing Las Cucarachas, the cockroaches. They were making the little gestures, you know, with the antenna on their head. So there's still plenty of time for that next thing and figuring out, you know, where it came from. But they're not giving away Gibbets at Coors Field. They are giving away a crossbody bag giveaway. Very trendy. They're giving that out on Friday. Saturday is a Mandalorian beverage wrap and then a very cool decorated water bottle. On Sunday.
Water
bottle. Oh, can't. Bottle for beverage bottle.
A water bottle.
And Saturday's game is also 110, too. Keep that in mind. We're looking at Marquez versus Jose Quintana on Friday. Saturday, Jose Urania versus Mitch Keller. And then Sunday, to be determined on both ends, maybe Bryce Wilson for the Pirates. For the Rockies, you're thinking, well, it's Austin Gomber's day. But in talking with Buddy pregame before Thursday's contest, he did throw Senzatella's name in the ring there. Made a really good, successful rehab start on Tuesday in Sacramento with the Isotopes. Five innings pitch, only gave up one run. So could be either one of those guys on the final game before the All-Star break. And we've got the All-Star weekend already starting up. Futures game on Saturday, a day early. Last year they had It was the Futures game. Yeah. Then what was it? One Republic had a little mini concert. And then it was the Celebrity All-Star game. I remember because a good buddy of mine was there, I think, with his aunt, and we caught up. And he's like, I got to get back. One Republic's about to go on. And I'm like,
that was a busy day. I was here. I was there for the Celebrity softball game, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. I missed that. I went over to the draft, saw some of the people. I haven't seen a list as to who's participating in the softball game.
I don't know that I have either, but I feel like it's, I mean, they're in LA. They're going to have actual celebrities at this one, you know?
That's it. I think it could be a last minute of like, you know, you get text by your agent on Saturday afternoon, mm-hmm. say, hey, you want to head on down to Dodger Stadium? There's a thing going on. And then it'll be whoever just kind of shows up, which, hey, it's pretty nice.
I feel like last year there were a lot of people who were, I was like, who is that? They're a TikTok star? Got it. Okay. So I feel like.
You knew who the Miz was though, right? Who is he?
A wrestler.
Yes. Oh, put it on the list, right? You know John Cena.
Okay.
And now you know the Miz. That's two. All right.
I know two wrestlers. I know three because I know Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Rock personally. The Dwayne Johnson. You got it. So three. So see, you kind of are low-key a big wrestling fan.
Don't.
I think we've just proven that. We've proven that Zach Veen's going to have a little something to prove against the other top prospects in all of the game on Saturday's Futures game. Ezekiel Tovar was supposed to be in that contest. Unfortunately, he's out with a groin strain. He's on the IL right now with the Yard Goats. And so that's that. Sunday, the draft will start at 5 p.m. First pick should be within 15 minutes or so. That's how they did it last year. It's still a whole new thing. That's a whole new presentation that they've got going on. So we'll kind of see how that ends up working out. I imagine they're going to want to get to that first pick really quick, just to kind of keep things moving, keep people's attention, as it were. So 5 p.m. Mountain Daylight Time is when it's going down for that.
And we'll probably be live during that. So
yeah,
that's
the plan.
Mark your little calendars. Make sure you're ready because we're gonna celebrate whatever the draft pick has to offer us.
We're gonna talk about the draft here in just a second, but I feel like we need to kind of recap or rehash today mm-hmm. in a nutshell, or even this Padres series in a nutshell. So I don't know if we're branding this the Dirty 30 or just the 30.
The 30. Well, you know what? This is, we're going to keep it clean. But yeah, the idea is we're going to recap today's game in 30 seconds. Are you ready, Patrick?
I'm up first.
Do you want to be up first or do you want me to be up first?
Let's do it. Yes, and I'm going to have the best 30 seconds ever.
Because I don't mind going first.
Super producer Kale is, he's got on the stopwatch. I can see you, Kale. You can just kind of wave in front of your face and that's my go. Kyle Freeland, not the best today. 4 innings pitch, did give up 5 earned runs, 4 fly ball outs, 2 ground outs, and 1 broken light fixture, thanks to Brendan Rodgers. Everyone got on base. 9 walks. Padres couldn't find the strike zone. They could not wait to get out of here. Soon enough, they might have even chartered a jet halfway through the game to get back home in sunny San Diego because the Rockies simply own the Padres right now, 13-3 against them since the start of the 2021 season. So really, Padres are the Rockies are the fathers of the Padres.
It's done.
Boom.
But you lost because you went over.
Maybe.
That was fun. I think you did a good job. That buzzer is quite jarring, though.
Okay, Susie. So then your question is going to, do you want to answer the same question or do you want a different one?
I mean, I was going to do my own recap.
Okay,
you want me to do something different.
You should, because I'm curious to see who does a better job encapsulating a game, a series, and dare I say, a vibe.
A vibe.
So Kale's going to wave you in here to get started.
All right. Okay, go. Okay, so for the first inning and a half, literally nothing happened. And then in the second inning, stuff started happening. People started scoring. Then in the fourth inning, the Rockies went for a nice walk. Everyone freaking walked. It was insane. 4 consecutive balls. And then Blake Snell actually loaded the bases on a walk. He walked in 2 runs. The game lasted about 5 hours. Kyle Freeland had a fit. And then the Rockies got tacos. And that's what else do you need to know?
Got it. That was it. That was a good summation. Although disappointed that none of us mentioned in the recap, again, didn't necessarily have to pertain to this single game. We forgot to talk about the great close-up that was featured on AT&T Sportsnet. Maybe the highlight, the star of the entire week, the American Dipper.
The bird. Great bird. The bird. Well, I guess if we were recapping this series, we would have talked about the bird. But yeah, there was we saw it here on the big screen, just like this bird eating a bug.
Dragonfly.
Was it a dragonfly? It was gigantic. Huge. It was huge. And then like the little burp at the end. So cute. Do birds burp, Patrick?
No, but that is so humans, we're great. So we cool off by perspiring.
Are we great? I don't know if I would say that.
Not as a species, but what's made us the king of the jungle, if you will, the top of the food chain, we perspire. That helps keep us cool. Birds can't do that. So on a hot day, you will see birds just with their mouth open. Not like, aww, it's not like a thing of, oh, I'm waiting for my mommy to feed me. No, that's how they cool off. I mean, similar to dogs, right? With their tongues sticking out.
Yeah.
That's the only way they can expel heat. So you know it's a hot day when birds are doing that to help keep themselves cool.
I did not know that. Thank you for subscribing to DNVR Birds. I like that Spilly was getting into bird watching. He was reading a bird watching book.
Might have been a Sibley's book. That's one of the big books out there.
I'm like, I don't know what that means, so.
It's okay. You're not a birder. I'm not going to expect you to know all the different, you know,
honestly,
bird publications.
don't expect anything from me, like in all aspects.
Look, I expect you to learn a thing or two about rugby because we've got one of the best ones here in Denver. It's the American Raptors. Go to AmericanRaptors.com. You can get free tickets. They've got, you know, players like Taniela Tuopolo from the University of Washington. He also played with the Seahawks, Falcons, Cardinals, San Diego Fleet, Seattle Dragons of the XFL. Like, we're talking legit athletes. Yes, they might not be names you are terribly familiar with. Some guys, I'm sure that you're like, oh yeah, no, I remember that guy. Big Pac-12 player, whatever it may be. But they've got great athletes who are learning the game, and they're learning it right in our backyard, Rugby Town USA, at Infinity Park in Glendale. Our guy Colton Strickler has it all covered for you on the DNVR Rugby podcast. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. He's got one-on-one rugby podcasts. He's talking with athletes, coaches, and he's giving you some amazing betting advice as well on the Super Rugby. So not only can you win a couple bucks, but at the water cooler, you can sound really smart because you're going to know a thing or two about the sport of rugby. And you call it the sport of rugby, so that's how you know, like, you know your stuff. Like the sport of baseball. It makes it sound a little fancier, doesn't it?
Oh, it sounds so fancy. The sport of baseball sounds a little too fancy for some of the nonsense that we see day to day, but
it is a little bit. It is a little bit. All right. Are we ready here to kick things off into MLB 2022 draft overload? We're ready to go. Rockies, they're not on the clock yet, but man, we're 3 days away from the 10th overall pick for the Colorado Rockies. Susie, you know, we know that with baseball, it takes so much longer for guys to make it to the majors. And so there's not that immediate pop of the NFL where, hey, I already know that guy and I'm excited to see them go
You
know, to this team or to play with this old teammate, whatever it may be. Basketball, very similar too, because I think you can project and say this guy's going to be dominant in a couple years with some more, you know, meat on their bones, whatever it may be. Hockey and MLB, they're kind of in that similar vein, so to speak, where you may not be familiar with them. You may not see them right away, but, you know, what's your take on this time of year as we approach the eve of the MLB draft?
Listen, we know that baseball is not a game of instant gratification, and that carries into the draft. But the fun thing about the draft is it's so much fun to look towards the future and to imagine what could be. And this is the prime time to do it.
Yeah, it's a lottery ticket. You know, you could find a diamond in a rough. You can get something out of, you know, picks that are in the third, fourth, fifth round. Traditionally, that hasn't been the case. You also have some really good, you know, stories that are out there. Even talking with scouting farm director Chris Forbes, that like they were able to get something out of a 35th round pick. They don't even have 35 rounds anymore. Now it is down to just 20 rounds, but they got something out of Rico Garcia, just a few years ago when he was able to pitch with them in 2019. So the last couple years here, going back to 2021, last year, ninth overall, they selected Benny Montgomery. And in the second round, Jaden Hill, Joe Rock. Really good to see Jaden Hill come back and make his debut finally after Tommy John surgery. So those are three of the more newer names that they got last year. 2020, it was Zach Veen and Drew Romo in the first round. 2019, Michael Tolia. And then in the first round of 2018, their first pick was Ryan Rolison. Didn't really have a first round pick in 2017 because they signed Ian Desmond. So just when you think that that can't come back to haunt you, in a way, maybe it does. But those are some of the names that, again, are still, you know, a couple levels away. None of those guys are in AAA right now. It's AA for Tolia. It's AA, of course, for a guy like Ezekiel Tovar. But Tolia from that draft class, they're all AA or lower. Ryan Rolison right now is on the shelf, probably should be with the big league club. And then going back further, I don't know, Susie, do you, you know, there's some names. I think Brendan Rodgers is the biggest name of the young guys that has made an impact where you're excited about their future. You can see them as a future all-star if you go back 4 years. But again, he was in 2015. There's about 4 years there from 2015 through 2018, 2019, where, you know, again, they've had some players that we've seen here at Coors Field make their debut, but, you know, they haven't had that same pop or that same impact just yet.
Yeah. You mentioned Brendan Rodgers. So yeah, he was out of that 2015 draft class, and the excitement has just been following it, or definitely followed him through the minors. Cause I don't remember, like, for instance, Yard Goats fans getting more excited for a prospect arriving than Brendan Rodgers. And of course, I think the excitement now, Ezekiel Tovar has that level of excitement, maybe even more. But yeah, he was out of that 2015 draft class. Maybe some of the quickest turnaround that we've seen. So Ryan Feltner and Jake Bird are from that 2018 draft class, and they've already debuted. That's not that long ago, right? That's only 4 years ago. It's still 2022, right?
Yeah, it's three seasons. Right. 20. Mm-hmm. Well, and also, too, there's no minor league season there. And so that's, I'm glad you brought that up, because you go back to 2018 and you're saying, well, Ryan Rolison has been hurt. It seems like he should have debuted in the last 2 years. I even thought that possibly in 2019 he would come up as a bullpen piece if they were in the hunt for one of those wild card spots. And so you kind of have to look back further than that. You know, it does take a couple years to develop. Other teams have done a better job at their development and their draft and development and have gotten something out of their guys. But you're right, you'd have to go back to that 2018 draft before you start. That's the soonest, right? That's the soonest that we've seen players debut. 2017, Lucas Gilbreth, Alan Trejo, Ryan Vallade, Sean Bouchard, and Tommy Doyle, a name some people might have forgotten about. He did debut there late in 2020. 2016, Brian Servin, Ben Bowden, Colton Wilker, those last two no longer with the organization. But Garrett Hampson, he was up in 2018, just a little bit more than 2 years in the minors. Boom, skyrockets to the major league based on his skill set. Kind of was major league ready really early on coming out of Long Beach State.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, that year that he debuted, he started that season at AA in Hartford. So he moved fast. He moved very fast.
Yeah, and the Rockies have been a little bit more aggressive with their guys. They've been drafting Joe Rock, a player who we just mentioned was selected late in the second round of 2021 MLB draft. He skipped over low A, so he's already, you know, being challenged and given that opportunity to maybe debut a little bit sooner than normal. You don't necessarily need to go to low A, high A, double A, triple A for 4 years. You don't need a year in all of those. You can go quicker than that. And so I like that the Rockies have been a little bit more aggressive with their promotion. Now, how the draft works, it's different than the others. The higher your pick is, the better player you could get. But it's not quite the same thing where who's the best player, that's who's definitely going first. Who's the second best player? I think we know who it is. That second best player is going second. What happens is you get a bonus pool money. Each slot, each pick comes with a certain dollar amount, and teams can get very creative with that. So a team like the Arizona Diamondbacks, actually I've even heard the Orioles with their first overall pick, somewhat linked to a guy like Jackson Holliday. Now, Jackson Holliday – son of Matt Holliday, will be a top five pick, no doubt about it. But is he the best overall player? Maybe not. Orioles could go ahead and talk with somebody like him, or maybe even somebody that's just outside of the top four, like a guy like Cam Collier, who I absolutely love and was hoping would be available to the Rockies at 10, but he started to shoot up draft boards. They could talk to Cam Collier and say, well, they're not going to say, hey, you're not the best player overall, but they're going to say, look, we'll take you first. And that has a lot of value, obviously, and a lot of marketability going forward for you. It's a great honor, but we're not going to give you this entire slot value. We're going to give you a little bit less than that, or maybe a lot less than it. And now they've got an extra million and a half that they can use later on to give to a kid who wants to be taken early in the first round and is playing hardball. And teams just say, you know what? We don't want to deal with that. The Orioles now with that extra money can go and get another really good player, either in the competitive balance A round or in the beginning of the second round. So you can almost, there are teams out there who look at their draft board and say, these are the top 15 or 20 players in the game that are available for this year's draft. We can get two of those, even though we only have two of the top 30 or 40 picks. We can get two players inside the top 15 because of that flexibility. We might not get the best player, but if we get someone who's a little bit lower down on the list, we can offer him less money. Now we can take that savings and go elsewhere. So you really can be creative if you are of a creative mindset. So it really flips things on the head to say, hey, did you get the best player? It's really, did you get the best situation for your team and your draft board?
Mm-hmm. Now, Patrick, we know the Rockies have the 10th pick. How did they get there? What can they do with that?
So, of course, as we had talked about in our pregame, we know that for this year, it's really just based on reverse standing. So the worse you are, the better the pick you're going to get. Next year, of course, that's going to change. There's going to be a lottery system that was all part of the new CBA. But this year's draft is predicated on the previous CBA. That being said, they've got the 10th pick because they had the 10th worst record last year. But the reason I know you're asking is because they probably could have had a much better pick. Now, how? It's based on their win-loss record. Well, the reason they won as many games as they did, particularly in the second half of the season, you might remember they were really bad on the road all year long, like historically bad. And then they played really solid on the road. They were almost like a 500 team. Maybe it was closer to 400, but they weren't a 200 winning percentage club. So they started winning more games, and teams that were ahead of them in the standings, like the Cubs and the Nats, they traded away their players and actually sunk down below the Rockies, therefore taking a higher pick away from the Rockies, taking away that opportunity and taking away that bonus pool money. So that's been one of the things that I think, you know, those fans and a lot of those folks that work for Purple Row, Rocks Pile, you know, just the hardcore fans that are part of the Rockies Twitter, they already know that when you're bad, it's not necessarily tanking, but the worse you are, the better off you're going to be compensated later on. And when you keep guys that are going to help you, you know, be good, even when you're mediocre, that's going to have a ripple effect through the future and through the next year's draft. So they don't trade Trevor Story. They're not able to do that. He's very frustrated by that. They don't trade John Gray, who, you know, made overtures that he wanted to stay and stick around. That doesn't happen. They've got some egg on their face. They've got nothing to show for that. At least there's a compensation pick tied to Trevor Story. Michael Givens was the only reliever that they were able to get something for last year. Daniel Bard was one of those guys. A couple other players who were going into their free agent year this year, like a Carlos Estevez. If you evaluated this team to say, you know what, they're going to be going into the break around 10 games under 500 like they are right now, we'll wait and see what happens in the Pirates series. But if they are going to be 10 games under 500 into the break, they are not a contender. So therefore, what do you need those fringe pieces for? You could have offloaded them last year, gotten even more for them by way of prospects, and also lost a few more games, had a better pick, had extra money. It's this trickle-down effect. If you take care of the little things, big things can take care of themselves.
That is your saying, Patrick. You say that all the time. But yeah, how will things look differently? Are we going to see less of that tanking in the future now that things have changed with the CBA?
That's what's supposed to happen, right? I don't know if that will. I was digging in a little bit of the draft stuff, obviously, you know, preparing for the draft show coming up and everything that we've been doing. And it does seem like there are some good methods to preventing it. But at the same time, I think teams would just rather say, we want to focus our window of contention in and around the same time. So you know, it can be a crapshoot. That's the other thing too with tanking. You say, well, it's a crapshoot. You know, Riley Pint, fourth overall, current yard goat. You haven't gotten anything out of him, so that can happen. We also know you could have a third round pick. I think Will Smith, a catcher for the Dodgers, might have been in the third round, and you know, he's going to be a perennial all-star here going forward. So that can happen. But if you've got a really high pick and all that extra money, right, the slot value in the bonus pool, if you've got that for 3-4 years in a row, you're also trading away guys who aren't going to be there in 3-4 years going forward. Now you're building your farm system. You're building that prospect pool. Now you're saying, okay, all eyes are pointed towards this year. All eyes are pointed towards 2026 or 2027. Look at the Orioles now. They're over 500. They're competing there in the AL East. It doesn't always work. But when you have a plan where you go all out on the tanking, it has to be all out. You can't just do it for 1 year or two. It's got to be 3, 4, maybe even 5 years. It does end up working. So I don't know if it will curtail it a ton. I think it will a little bit, but you'll have those teams that say, look, we just can't contend and we can't rebuild on the fly. So we need to break it all down before we rebuild it. So I think we'll have less teams doing that to ultimately to answer your question.
Now, instead of looking forward years from now, should we look forward to a couple of days from now? Who could the Rockies potentially be looking at with that 10th draft pick or that, number 10 pick?
Top five guys that are going to go before them that they should not be able to sniff at all because they're going to get taken in no particular order. Drew Jones, son of Andrew Jones. Jackson Holliday, son of Matt Holliday. Tamar Johnson. Elijah Green, son of former Steelers tight end and Pro Bowler Eric Green, and Cam Collier, son of former fourth outfielder Lou Collier, who I absolutely love. I don't think he's going to be available. He's the Zach Veen of this draft, where something could happen and maybe, just maybe, he falls to the Rockies, and I would be ecstatic. Kid is 17 years old, playing incredibly well in junior college, doing the Bryce Harper thing. 17, youngest kid in the entire draft. Love Cam Collier. But the three guys that I think have been tied to them most: Jacob Berry, Jace Young, and Gavin Cross. Now, the guy that I am maybe least keen on is Gavin Cross out of Virginia Tech. And that's, you know, it's not necessarily have anything to do with the fact that he's an outfielder and the Rockies right now are very flush with outfielders. These things will sort themselves out. So, sure, you don't want all of your, you know, prospect capital into the same position. We saw that at first base with Michael Tolia, as well as Grant Levine, Elijah Montero, and Cole Welker to a degree. But you don't want all of that in there. Now, Gavin Cross, he can hit. He's more power than hit, real easy power. He's got a great physical presence. You know, doesn't have too many weaknesses. I think he's going to be more of a corner outfielder. Did spend some time in center field with the Hokies there. Will chase out of the zone, mashes the fastball, not as much on the off-speed pitches. That would probably be my biggest concern, is that, you know, ability to go outside the zone. Maybe he improves that. He actually did from last season to this with Virginia Tech. So maybe he can continue that going forward. But, you know, ultimately, considering they have got a ton of outfielders, and I don't see his upside maybe being as high as some of the other ones, I'm going to put him third on the depth chart, but he is still third on that depth chart.
Yeah, he's still on the chart. Are you a little more keen on Chase Young?
I am. I could very much see him having the edge over a guy like Jacob Berry, who doesn't necessarily have a true position. But Chase Young is an up-the-middle guy. Again, if we're talking about, you know, where the Rockies' assets are right now, they don't have a ton of guys up the middle. You know, Juan Brito at second base. Of course, Ezekiel Tovar is the guy at shortstop, Adel Amador. But they've got so many more outfielders, right? Chase Young's got a premium bat from left field. He's got a baseball pedigree. His brother Josh Young was selected, I believe, 9th overall in 2019 by the Texas Rangers. He's a top 100 prospect. He's got power to all fields. Love his baseball IQ. That's really helped him out on the defensive side. He's okay. I don't know that there's an opportunity maybe for him to move over to third base. I think he's going to be a true second baseman. Yes, the Rockies have Brendan Rodgers. But even though, you know, Young may move through the minors very quickly, I still think there's you don't have to worry about hey, we've got Chase Young coming up. What are we going to do with Brendan Rodgers? Maybe Rodgers moves over to third base. There are definitely possibilities with that kind of getting sorted out. So love the pedigree out of Chase Young and being a middle infielder. So he would make Rockies fans, I think, pretty happy. And he's most frequently been a guy attached to the Rockies with that 10th overall pick.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, I do like that his brother, who is named Josh, they kept with the J theme. I know we've talked about the K theme with Chris Bryant. We're jeeping up with the Jardashians here with the Young family.
Jerry Jice.
All right, Patrick. Now, speaking of Jays, how are you feeling about Jacob Berry out of LSU?
So literally, like, the only knock on this guy is that he may not have a true position. He's a guy that played third base, played a little for outfield for LSU, but I mean, the guy's just got a huge hit tool. If you're familiar with Chicago White Sox prospects, he's probably very similar to a guy like Andrew Vaughn. And, you know, he doesn't necessarily have a true position right now. He can play a little bit of first base, but ultimately, doesn't have a spot on the diamond. That's a concern. But with the DH now in the National League, I think that's really huge. Can just hit. Another guy with really good IQ and can mash. Switch hitter. Hits a little bit better from the left side. That's the one you want because you mostly face right-handed pitching. So I think Jacob Berry is a better baseball player overall. And so if he's available, it's hard. It's really gonna. I think it's going to be between Jacob Berry and Chase Young, if those guys are available. And if my guy, Cam Collier, isn't available, Gavin Cross, Chase Young, Jacob Berry, I think those are the three guys that are most likely going to be available for the Rockies with the 10th overall pick in Sunday's 2022 MLB draft.
Patrick, thank you for breaking all of these down. I will light some candles for your guy, Cam, a little candle circle.
We'll see. Maybe Lightning will strike 2 out of 3 years and they'll get the 2022 version, so to speak, of Zach Veen. We can talk more about this on the members only Discord if you are a member to the DNVR. Not only 50 cents for your first month. And I will, in text form, break down the top 200 prospects. No, I'm not going to exactly do that. But if you do have questions, of course, you can reach out to me there in the members only Discord or even, you know, in our DMs here on Twitter. We're at DNVR_Rockies and I am at Patrick D. Lyons on Twitter.
I am at the Susie Hunter on all platforms.
And look, we've got a lot of momentum here going into the weekend, going into our draft show, so to speak. We'll be live. We'll break it down. We'll get the immediate reaction. Maybe I will be doing backflips in the PNC Club because Cam Collier is a Colorado Rocky. I'm kind of hyping myself up for that right now. I really am.
You're so hype right now, Patrick. I love it.
It could happen. It might be able to happen. I don't know. I'm really excited. But you know what they say about momentum? It's only as good as your next show. So we'll talk to you then.